I had expected to start at about 5 after 12, so we'll try to condense what I prepared and end on time so that no one has any taina that they're not on time for the delicious lunch that awaits us. Maybe we gotta get those sandwiches again. I'd like to address a little bit contemporary issue. It's true that right now the yeshiva is on lockdown. This morning, Rav Mali asked me, what's the title of my shiur? I'm not so into these like catchy titles, topics. I didn't think about it. The truth was that the shmooze till yesterday. So I told him maybe the title should be, what can we do as a yeshiva to lift the lockdown? What can we do as a yeshiva to lift the lockdown, aside from mutiny? Aside from mutiny, what can we do? So the topic actually that I want to get into via this week's parasha, again I'll try to maybe abbreviate, is really, it's true that the last few days, Baruch Hashem, there's been a little bit of a rigiyah. Things seem to have calmed down somewhat. Especially if you haven't looked at the news, like me, in the last 24 hours, so you're feeling a little bit calmer. But if we think about the last, 15 years or so, since 2011, maybe, going back even further than that, we see that there's a lot of conflict between Arabs, the Muslim world, and basically the rest of the world, and especially the Jews. So I'd like to talk a little bit about what's our perspective about this conflict and how are we supposed to react. We know the Rambam says in the beginning of Hilchos Tainis that if a person views a tragic event merely as a consequence of something natural that happened, if we view, just to put it into our terms, if we view the Arab-Israeli conflict as being a question of possession of land or politics, nationalism, who's really the owner of Har HaBayit, who does it really belong to, is the Kotel. They just said yesterday, UNESCO voted, I don't know what UNESCO is, but something with the UN, they voted that the Kotel is officially a Muslim site. Not only Har HaBayit is Muslim, but the Western Wall is Muslim. So if we view the conflict as just being about these types of questions, who does it belong to? So the Rambam says that the person who does that, again, I'm a little bit ad-libbing, but the Rambam says, avalim lo yizaku v'lo yoriu, if you don't call out and cry out as a result of a difficult crisis, el yom rudav azem minag olam irulanu, you say that this is just the way of the world, v'tzarezu nikra nikres, it happens, Harezu derech achzarius. The Rambam says that's the way of an achzar. That's cruelty. So we're being cruel to ourselves if we don't, if we view this issue as merely a question of politics or a conflict between two peoples over land. We have to go a little bit deeper to understand what is this really all about from the Torah perspective. So the first place to look whenever you have such a question is the Parashas HaShavua. This week's parasha, we have the story of the birth of Yishmael in Perek Tezayin, Parashas Lech Lecha. We'll read maybe a little bit some of the psukim. So the pasuk, the Torah tells us that Sarah didn't have any children, but she had a shifcha, her name was Hagar, and she said to Avram, I don't have any kids, please marry my shifcha, maybe through her I'll will be zochet of children. And Avram listens to Sarah, and they get married, and Hagar is pregnant, and pasuk says that she starts to make fun of Sarah, and Sarah says to Avram, or Sarai, she says to Avram, I'm very upset, it's because of you, I gave you my shivcha to marry, and look at what she's doing, she got pregnant, and now she's making fun of me. So Avram says to Sarah, okay, do to Hagar whatever you want. Says the pasuk, "Vatanel Sarai, Sarah afflicted her; she caused her pain. Vatibrach mipanel, and she had to run away." And the pasuk continues and says how she ran away into the desert, and she came to a well, to an oasis, and there she met an angel. And the angel asked her, "What are you doing here?" So she says, "I ran away from Sarai." The angel says, "Go back to her, and you'll have a lot of children, and you'll have a child who's, you should call him Yishmael. Ki shama Hashem el onyech, for God has heard your distress. V'hu yiyeh pere odo, and he will be a wild, donkey-like man." That's what the Ibn Ezra says. A wild, donkey-like man. Yodoy bakoil, he'll attack everything. V'yad kobo, everyone will be fighting with him. The pasuk says that she called the name of the place, or she called the Malach Atokel Roi, Batikro Shem Hashem Adoiver Eleo Atokel Roi, Alken Karolaber Ber Lachai Roi. She called this well Ber Lachai Roi, the place that I saw Hashem. Then she comes back and she has the child, and it says in the pasuk, Vayikra Avram Shem Beno Asher Yolda Hagar Yishmael, that Avram called his child that was born from Hagar, Yishmael, which means Yishmael, Hashem will listen. So if you read the Pesukim a little more carefully, together with the Mepharshim, with Rashi and the Sforno, what you see clearly is that the whole birth of Yishmael is surrounded, it comes about from Tefillah, comes about from Davening. First of all, Rashi in Pasuk Chamasi Alecha, Rashi says that Sarai comes to Avram with a taina, with a complaint, that she says, "I'm upset at you, because had you davened to Hashem for both of us, then we both would have been answered. We would have had a child. But now that you davened, when you said earlier, 'V'hine anoichi hoylech ariri, I myself am barren, I don't have children,' you were davening about yourself, so Hashem didn't answer the tefillah for both of us. Sarah comes to Avram with a taina that you didn't daven properly. And Hagar, how is she saved?" Hagar is saved. The pasuk says that she cried out to Hashem. She cries out over there. And the Malach says, "Ki shama Hashem el onyech, Hashem heard your distress." Says that she went to the well. So the Sforno says over there, "Al ein amayin mispaleles," she went to the well to daven. Why specifically to a well to daven, says the Sforno? Because water is a place that represents tefillah. Tefillah is compared to water. Shifchi kamayim libeich, nochach pnei Hashem. And he says that when it says in the pasuk, "Vatikra shem Hashem," it means she davened to Hashem. So we see here from this story that the whole birth of Yishmael came about from tefillah. It came about through the koach of Hagar's tefillah, that Hagar davened to Hashem properly, and Avram, in a certain way, didn't properly daven, and as a result, so Sarai wasn't answered that she should have children, and that's how Yishmael was born. And Yishmael is name. The name Yishmael, Yishmael, Hashem will listen to his tefillah. We find this also later in next week's parasha, in Parashas Vayera, when after Yishmael starts up with Yitzchak, the Medrash says he's shooting arrows at him, he's trying to kill him. So Sarah says to Avram, "Garesh has ben ha'ama azayis," you have to throw him out. He's having a bad influence. I'm afraid he'll have a bad influence on Yitzchak. So Avram Avinu listens to Sarah and he sends her out, sends Yishmael out. And Yishmael again is in the desert and he doesn't have much water. He's very thirsty, he's dying from thirst. And the pasuk says that Vayishma Elohim al kol anar, Vayikra malach Elohim al hagar min ha-shamayim vayoymeloch malach hagar al tiroi, ki shoma Elohim al kol anar basher usha. Shem heard the tefillah of the voice of the lad in this current condition that he's in. And Rashi says that even though, quoting again the Medrash, that even though in the future Hashem says, I know that the descendants of Yishmael are going to afflict Klal Yisrael, they're going to make them die from thirst, they're going to be wandering in the desert, they're going to give them salty water to drink, and they'll die from thirst. But nevertheless, right now, I'm judging him by Sheru Sham. And the Medrash says, in the Pirkei Derabbi Elazar, what does it mean by Yishmael Kim El Kol Anan? Hashem heard the tefillah of Yishmael. Yishmael was in the desert and he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, Hashem, if it's your will that to give me water, provide for me water. And Hashem listened to his tefillah and he answered his tefillah. So we see from this Medrash that the power of Yishmael is the power of tefillah. And the Medrash, and then the Pesukim really saying an amazing Kiddush, that even though Yishmael is a Rasha, he's a Rasha, he's trying to kill Yitzchak. That's why Sarah said, throw him out of the house. His descendants are going to be Rishayim. They're going to cause pain to the descendants of Avraham Avinu, to Bnei Yisrael. But since he davens to Hashem, apparently, a tefillah with true kavana, a tefillah which was heartfelt, which was sincere, completely. So Hashem listens to his tefillah, even though he's a Rasha. Vayishma Elokim al kol hanar b'asher usham. Hashem heard his tefillah. And the Gemara says in Brachos, Daf Nun Vav, just to illustrate to what extent Yishmael represents the power of tefillah, the Gemara says in Brachos, Perikoro, maybe some of the guys will get to it in the Kiyas. If you're in the Hum of the Day, the program, it's towards the end. The Gemara says that if a person sees Yishmael, the son of Avraham, in his dream, if he's dreaming and he sees Yishmael, the son of Avraham, not just an Arab, so the Gemara says that he could be confident that his tefillah will be answered. We see to such an extent Yishmael represents the power of proper tefillah, but the Gemara says, if a person sees Yishmael in his dream, his tefillah will be answered. So we see on the one hand that Yishmael has this tremendous power of tefillah. That's what his name represents. Yishmael, Hashem will listen to his prayer. There's a famous Pirkei de Reblazer, the Pirkei de Reblazer, Perek Lamed, says the following. It says in Parshas Bilam, Vayisom Yisholoi Vayoymar, Bilam raised his... He said another prophecy and he said, Oi, mi yichye, mishumay el. Who will live? Mishumay el, from the one that has the name El in his name. Explains the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar that Bilam was saying, from all the nations in the world, there are only two nations that the name of Hashem is incorporated into their name. Yisrael, Klal Yisrael, Yashar Kel, straight to Hashem. That's what a Jew is, straight connected to Hashem. And then there's Yishmael. So the Medrash says that Bilam was giving a nevuah about what will be Ba'achris Hayamim, and he says, Oi, mi yichya, whoa! It's going to be such a terrible state. Mishumael, from the one that has the name El in his name, from Yishmael. But the Medrash says also in Perek Lamed Beis of Pirkei de Blazer, it says, Lama Nikra Shma Yishmael, why was the name of Yishmael given as the name Yishmael? The Malach told really only Hagar she should name him Yishmael. How did Avraham Avinu know to name him Yishmael? So Rashi and the Ramban says it was Beruach HaKadosh. It's one pshat of the Ramban. The other pshat of the Ramban says that maybe she told him. But the Medrash, and the way the Mefarshim explained the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, says the following. Lama nikra shma Yishmael? Why is Yishmael called Yishmael? She'osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'shmoa b'kol nakas ha'am, because Hashem in the future will hear the cries of the Jewish people. Mima she'asidin b'nei Yishmael l'asos ba'aretz ba'achris hayamin. About what Yishmaelites will do to the Jewish people in the end of days. Lefichach nikra shma Yishmael. Therefore, Avraham Avinu has a prophetic statement named Yishmael, Yishmael, as it says in Tehillim, says the Pirkei Rabbeinu, Yishma Kel Vayaneh. Hashem heard the tefillah, the cries of Bnei Yisrael, and he heard their tefillah. So the Mepharshim explained that what we see here in the Pirkei Rabbeinu is the following. Is that the essence of Yishmael? Yishmael has a tremendous power of tefillah. In the merit of his power of tefillah, he came into existence in the world. And that's what his name represents. The name, the Maharal explains many times, expresses the essence of something. That's the essence of Yishmael. Is that if you pray sincerely to Hashem, Hashem will hear your tefillah. And we see it nowadays with the Arabs. What are they very makbid on? They're very makbid on tefillah. You could be traveling. Sometimes we go back in the back roads from Yeshiva to Beit Shemesh. We pass by Beitar. And you see this Arab guy many times. He's got his carpet rolled out next to his truck. He bows down in the middle of the day, middle of the street. You know, sometimes when you're traveling, you're a little bit, you know, self-conscious to put on tefillin in an airport. A little bit feel self-conscious, depending where you are. If you're in New York, okay, everyone, you know, it's very common, but are the Arabs self-conscious about demonstrating that it's time to pray? No. They're very open about it. They're very didactic about it. When it's time to pray, they even pray 5 times a day. They roll out their carpet. So the Medrash so says that the essence of Yishmael is also to arouse in us, in Klal Yisrael, the koach of tefillah. The koach of tefillah. When the Pirkei Rabbeinu says that he's called Yishmael because in the future Klal Yisrael will cry out as a result of what Yishmael is doing to Bnei Yisrael, and Hashem will answer them and bring the geula, it doesn't mean just Hashem will hear the cries of pain, but Hashem will hear the call of tefillah that emanates Mikoach the Tzaris of Yishmael. And this really is alluded to in the Perek in Tehillim, Shir HaMalos Kuf Chof Dalet, Perek Kuf Chof Dalet. It says, Shir HaMalos LeDavid, Dovid HaMelech Davids, Lulei Hashem Shehoi Olon Elohim Elohim Yisrael. Klal Yisrael says, if not for Hashem, what would be to us? We'd be destroyed. Lulei Hashem Shehoi Olon, if not for Hashem, who was with us, Bikum Aleinu Adam. When a man stood up to attack us, as I chayim b'lo'unu, we would have been swallowed up alive, etc. Anachnu, apach nishbar, anachnu imlatnu, ezreinu b'shem Hashem, ose shmai varet. So there's a very famous explanation on this kapitel tilin from Reb Chaim Vital. We won't read the whole thing inside, but Reb Chaim Vital explains that there are 4 galios, there are 4 exiles, Bavel, Madai, Yavan and Edom, and these are all alluded to in the Psukim in Daniel. They're represented by different animals in Sefer Daniel. But he says there's a 5th galus. The 5th galus and the final galus, says Reb Chaim Vital, was the prime Talmud of the Arizal, is the galus of Yishmael. And that's represented by Adam, by the word Adam in the Pasuk. Because Yishmael is called the Pera Adam. He's the Pera Adam. So the Pasuk is saying here, this kapitel in Tehillim is saying, if not for Hashem that stood for us when Yishmael rose up against us, we would have been swallowed up alive. We'd be completely destroyed. And he explains that Yishmael is different than the other Goliaths. The other Goliaths, the purpose of Esav, is he wants to get Bnei Yisrael to switch religions, to change their religious observance. It's more religious persecution. But Yishmael, says Chaim Vital, it's like the Pasuk says, Azai Chayim Blaunu. They just want to swallow us up alive. We shouldn't exist. We should be wiped off the face of the earth. But Yisochei Hashem Yisrael Oik. And the Pasuk says, how can we save ourselves from Yishmael? What is our salvation from Yishmael? The Pasuk concludes in that Perek, Ezreinu B'Shem Hashem. Our salvation will come B'Shem Hashem. When we cry out in the name of Hashem. Oisei Shomayim Va'oretz writes the Metzudas David on that parak, Ezreinu B'Shem Hashem Ha'ezer Shalonu, our salvation will come Bo Behaskor Hashem Hashem, when we mention the name of Hashem, when we daven to Hashem, Osei Shemayim Ba'aretz, the creator of heaven and earth, the lo bo eizeh b'koach yodeinu, and not through our koach, through our actions, our own might. Only through tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only if we counter the spiritual power that Yisrael has, which is the power of tefillah, then we'll be able to counter Yishmael on the spiritual battle, which will affect the physical battle. So Gemara in Baba Basra, Gemara in Baba Basra says, that's Kuf Chof Gimel, says in the Pasuk, V'ani nosati l'cho shchem echor alachecho, asher lokachti miyad emoyli v'charvi v'kashti. Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, I'm giving you the city of Shechem, which I took from the hands of the Amori with my sword and with my bow and arrow. B'charvi v'kashti. So the Gemara says, is that true? He actually used the sword and bow and arrow. Pasuk says, in Tehillim, David HaMelech says, Ki loy v'kashti eftach. I'm not confident. I don't place my trust in the bow and arrow. V'charev loy toshieni. I don't place my trust in the sword, that the sword will save me. Elo says the Gemara, Charbi zu tfilo. Charbi refers to davening, to tfilo. Kashti zu bakosha. Kashti, my arrow, refers to my request, my bakosha, my supplication. And this actual pshat, the Gemara says in Malasa, is the pshat of Unklus on that pasuk. Shalokachti miyad emari b'charvi b'kashti, says Unklus b'charvi b'tzlusi, b'kashti b'ba'usi. The question is, what are these two terms of tefillah? Charvi b'kashti. Actually, before we get to that, there's an amazing marsha on that Gemara. The marsha says on that Gemara, that the Gemara says that if you have the power of tefillah, that's like a sword. And if you have the power of bakosha, of supplication, of begging Hashem, so then that's like a bow and arrow. Says the Marsha, there are two nemesis, or two antagonists, to Klal Yisrael. There's Esav, and there's Yishmael. Esav, Yaakov Avinu gave him what bracha? You will live with your sword. You'll live by the sword. Esau is represented by a sword. What is the weapon, so to speak, according to the Torah, of Yishmael? Says, V'hoyo rove kashos. He shot a bow and arrow. Next week's parasha. Says the Marsha, if we have the cut of tefillah, which is likened to a cherev, that is connected to Esau. That will counteract Esau. If we have the koyas of bakosha, that will counteract Yishmael. Bakosha is like a keshes, it's like a bow and arrow. That counteracts Yishmael, whose koach is represented by a bow and arrow in the Torah. By he rode the kashos. He was a hunter. He shot with a bow and arrow. Says Reb David Goldberg from Telz, in his Sefer Kol Doi D'Doifer, that the Brisker Rav explains what's the chilek between tefillah and bakosha. That one is compared to a sword and the other is compared to a bow and arrow. Says the Brisker Rav in Chumash, cherev, a sword, is an object that has the inherent power to kill. Sharp, doesn't take much, and lo aleinu, can kill a person. That's a cherev. A bow and arrow depends on the person who's shooting it, his aim, and how, I guess, the force that he puts into it. It's not so simple. That's a keshes. Says the Brisker Rav, tefillah, we have two kinds of tefillah. The Shmona Esrei, that's the tefillah that was established by Chazal. That has the power like a sword. It works even if you don't have kavan. But then there's a separate kind of tefillah called bakasha. Personal bakasha, personal tefillah, that's like a bow and arrow. Depends on how much kavana you have. Depends on the person who's aiming it, so to speak. So says the Gemara, tefillah counteracts Esav, bakasha, which means tefillah with kavana counteracts Yishmael. The way for us to react to Yishmael is to be meschazik in tefillah, especially with tefillah b'chavana. Whatever we can do to daven b'chavana, that will counter ve'ezes Hashem Yishmael, as reinu b'shem Hashem, oisa shemayim v'aretz.